Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5 this morning. Ephesians chapter 5. And we're going to start in verse 15. Ephesians 5:15, we stand for the reading of God's Word this morning. It says, "Seeing then that you walk circumspectly, not as the fools, but as wise, redeeming the time for the because the days are evil. Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding that the will of the Lord is. And be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Wives, submit unto yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Wherefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify it, cleanse it with the washing of the water by the word, that he might present to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their own wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourished and cherished it, even as the Lord the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined to his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let every man, every one of you in particular, so love his wife even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband." Amen. You may be seated. Well, you know, in the book of Ephesians here, Paul has been talking about what happened to you after you received the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, that's a pretty good thing what the book of Ephesians is dealing with here. And in the last 2 weeks, we talked about, you know, how followers of God should walk as believers. And followers of God should walk in love as Christ loved. And followers of God should walk as children of light, having no fellowship with the works of darkness. And the followers of God should work carefully, not as fools. And they are to redeem the time, for the days are evil. And followers of God are to walk in the Spirit. And it says there in Ephesians 5:17, he says, "Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understand that the will of the Lord is. And be not drunk with wine where it is in excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ." So followers of God are to understand the will of God. And God's will is that we are to be filled with the Spirit, God's Holy Spirit. And their joy, you know, your joy should not come from wine. It should come from that being filled with the Spirit, not with wine, right? And their melody in the heart should come with an attitude of giving thanks unto God. But you say, well, how are you supposed to be filled with the Spirit? And that's what the Bible says, right? He's talking about being filled with the Spirit. I mean, how do you become spiritual? I mean, do you just kind of one day you're walking around and then next day you do it again, and all of a sudden you go to sleep one night and God all of a sudden sends down an angel and he opens up the top of your head and pours in the spiritual stuff, right? And you wake up and next day you're spiritual, right? No, and that's not how it works. And in fact, if you look back here, to turn with your Bibles with me to Colossians 3:16. Shouldn't be very far from where you're at now. And, you know, kind of keep a mark where you're at with your other finger there. But I want you to notice how similar. He wrote another book to the Colossians, right? And he kind of covers some of the same material. But I want you to know how much similar that these verses we're getting ready to read matches up with Ephesians. Because in Ephesians it says, "And be not drunk with wine where it's in excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ." But notice what it says over here in Colossians 3:16. It's a very similar passage here. And it says, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever you do, do it in the word or deed. Do all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving him thanks to God and the Father by him." All right? Very similar, but the thing here, over here where it's talking about being filled with the Spirit, over here it says, let the Word of God richly dwell in your heart. So in other words, this was written by the Holy Spirit of God, amen? And you're reading, you're studying, you're meditating. You notice the Word of God is constantly referring you back to this is God's Word. And if you want to grow in God's Word, you want to be cleansed, get God's Word. If you want to be spiritual, you take God's Word and you start reading and studying it and living it. And guess what? That spiritual just naturally just starts working into your life. You know, those old things in life starts passing away and all becomes new. As long as you're filling yourself with the Word of God, amen, let that. So there's a correlation of being spiritual. It's a correlation with following God's Word, amen. Very important in a Christian's life is the Word of God. And so, in fact, Jesus Christ, He said this in John 6:63. He said, it is the Spirit that quickeneth. In other words, bringing you alive, right? He says, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. Amen? Amen. So it's a process. It's not something that just happens overnight. When you get saved, it happens right then. The Holy Spirit comes in and seals you. But as you continue to grow, He fills you with that Holy Spirit of God. Amen? And it's a process of time. It doesn't happen overnight. And the result of that kind of walk with the Lord, that spiritual walk that God wants you to walk, well, let me give you an example. Isaiah chapter 30, verse 31 says, for they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings of eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. You know, that's one of those verses you see printed on a lot of pictures, right? And that's what he's saying. If you're walking with the Lord, you're going to mount up like eagles. You're going to have strength, and God's going to give you that energy and things that you need in your life. Amen? Another one, Psalms 84:11. For the Lord God is a sun and a shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will be withheld from him that walk uprightly. And so we're walking through the words of God, amen, and living the way that God tells us. And we're walking in our life like that, amen. And God says, I'm going to be there with you. And in fact, in Revelation 3:4 says this, which have not defiled their garments, and they walk with me in white, for they are worthy, and they shall walk with God in glory. And that journey begins right here on earth, amen? And he continues on down through eternity, walking with the Lord. But right now is our baby steps, amen? And we're learning to walk with him. And so when one is filled with the Spirit, he prays in the Spirit, he speaks in the Spirit, he worships in the Spirit, he loves in the Spirit, he walks in the Spirit, and you know, he also sings in the Spirit, amen? And I got this out of the book, Boyd's Bible Handbook on page 563. But he talks about, he says, I'm going to give you some songs that you may be singing hypocritically. All right? He says, listen. So I listen to these songs. Sometimes when you're singing in church, sometimes we just sing the song. Are we really living the songs? Or are we just singing them? So he gives us a list of songs here. He says, we sing Sweet Hour of Prayer and contend ourselves with little or no prayer at all. We sing for 1,000 tongues and seldom witness at all about our wonderful Savior. We sing Onward Christian Soldiers and wait to be drafted into His service. We sing There Shall Be Showers of Blessing and let one drop, raindrop, knock us out for all the Sunday services. Right? We sing Blessed Be the Tie That Binds and let the smallest thing sever the Christian fellowship. We sing Serve the Lord with Gladness and gripe about all we have to do. We sing We're Marching to Zion but fail to march to prayer meeting, Sunday school, or church as we ought to. We sing, I love to tell the story, but never mention it to the lost ones around us. We sing, cast thy burdens on the Lord, and worry ourselves into a nervous breakdown. We sing, whole wide world for Jesus, and never invite our neighbors to church. We sing, oh, day of rest and gladness, and wear ourselves out by cutting the grass, playing golf, and picnicking. We sing throughout the lifeline and contend ourselves with throwing out the fishing line. We sing leaning on the everlasting arms. And about all the leaning we do is in the back easy chair as we're watching television or on the internet. Maybe our singing isn't as hypocritical as it sounds when we sing, I shall not be moved. Right? So the Holy Spirit has sealed the believer of Christ. And you have a new walk, you have a new talk, and you have a new song. And you also have a brand new relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And let me ask you this question. What is the most closest and most intimate relationship you can have down here on this earth? Well, that's a relationship of husband and wife, is it? That is a very special, that's a relationship like you have with nobody else. It's one you have with your spouse. It's a very intimate relationship. It's a very special relationship. And God right now, and what Paul is going to do right now, he's going to take that intimate relationship with husband and wife and show what kind of a close relationship that you ought to have with the Lord Jesus Christ. See? And God does not just want you to have a cold ritual religion for worship service. That's not what he's looking for. He's looking for a relationship with you. You have a special relationship, a special bond with him. It says in Ephesians 1:13, it's in whom also you trust after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after you believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Now that you're sealed, saved and sealed with God's Holy Spirit, God wants to continue that relationship that he started with you. And that relationship of Christ to the church is that of a redeemer. He's the head. He's the sanctifier. He's the nourisher. And it's a relationship where you're in subjection to him. And now Paul likens you, the church, as the body of Christ. And Paul illustrates this by a husband and wife relationship. It says in Ephesians 5:21, picking it up here. He says, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Wives, submit yourselves unto your Lord, unto your husbands, as unto the Lord. Now, I had an uncle once tell me, and he said, listen, he says, for there to be harmony in the home, the husband has to have the last word. Yes, dear. Hey, you might as well laugh. My jokes don't get any better, okay? All right? So, but many women take offense at this verse about submitting. And when I was working, there was a Southern Baptist gal there on there, and the Southern Baptist had just come out saying, they reaffirmed this verse and I remember this gal, she went to a Southern Baptist church, and she goes, I'm not submitting to anyone, right? That was her attitude. But she probably had some bad experience with the verse where the verse was used wrong. But verse 21 shows that there, when it talks about we submit to each other, there's a mutual respect to each other in submitting, amen? It's not necessarily just a one-way street here, amen? And in verse 21, it's not supposed to be used as a club for abuse. It's not supposed to be used to dominate, all right? Remember, the picture is the church, picture of Christ, and you are the church. That's what it's really talking about here. It's about a relationship. It's not about religion. Religion can be dictatorship. It can be fearful to be in a religion. I mean, we need to submit ourselves to Christ, but he doesn't ever abuse us. He doesn't dominate us, does he not? He loves us, and he would do nothing. He would do nothing to hurt us. But we, the church, we do have a problem submitting to Christ and his word, like Rick was talking about earlier. I mentioned he brought that up. We have a problem submitting to what God wants us to do. Everything else, like Rick was saying in Sunday school, follows the Lord in that animal world doing what they're supposed to do. Man's the one that says, no, I'm not going to submit. And unfortunately, church, we still have that old nature that sometimes does not want to submit to God. But people in general have that problem of submitting. I remember years ago, taking this girl out on a date. This wasn't last week. This was a long time ago, right, before I was married. But I remember telling her this movie there, right? And while I was on this movie, for some reason, the person that was in second curl, this gal was in second command, she didn't obey the order. And I made this comment. I said, well, I wonder how come she didn't do what the guy told her to do. And she says, I know why. So I said, okay. I think all of a sudden it dawned on me. Okay, I understand, too, exactly the point here. You know, she didn't want somebody telling her what to do. She didn't like always being in that position. Steve used a great illustration, though, last week. I love that illustration. You know, I've heard it before, but that deal about the father and the son. And he talks about and the son, he tells the son, sit down. You know, and the son says, no, I'm not going to sit down. And the father says, no, I want you to sit down. No, I'm not sitting down. And the father actually has to literally go there and shove the boy down and make him sit down, right? And the boy's sitting there, you know, like his arms crossed, and going, well, I may be sitting here, but in my mind, I'm standing, right? See, submitting, you know, that's not really submitting. Even though somebody does something like that, that's not. Because submitting is an attitude of heart, amen? Not necessarily, okay, well, I'm submitting, okay, you're not going to gripe about it. That's not really submitting. It's an attitude of heart. And so it says in 5:23, it says, "For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body." Now, husbands, listen up. I mean, you can learn a lot from this, all right? I mean, let me tell you something about men, ladies, in case you haven't figured it out. I'm sure you probably have. You know, if we're watching the football game or something and you're talking to us, we're probably only catching about every other word that you're saying to us. Eh? You know what I mean? We're not really catching on. I mean, it's probably best. If you really want to get our attention, you better get our head twisted around here. Now, listen, that way you got our attention, right? I mean, you know, we don't take hints very well either. I mean, you can't say, well, husband, you might say, well, dear, the trash can over there is getting mighty full. Kind of over going over. And he'll look over there and he'll say, yeah, you know, maybe we do need to get a bigger trash can, don't we? That's how we'll think, amen. So, you know, I want husbands to listen up. I mean, I'm here, or we're supposed to be a picture of Christ, but we're the only human beings, so sometimes we're not a very good example of Jesus Christ, okay? But in spite of our dumb moves, God seems to work that out for our own good, amen. And notice the husband is the head, he's the leader of the home, even as Christ is to the church. You know, two heads are better than one, but not on the same body. Right? And Jesus Christ says, when you and the husband and wife get together, you have become one. All right? So two heads, you become one body. And so if you've got two heads, what you have on one body, are going to have a freak. Right? So we are to love our wives with such a love that we are willing to give up our life for her. That's what Jesus Christ did for us, was it not? In fact, I imagine when most girls are looking for somebody, they're looking for a guy who's willing to give up everything for them, just like Jesus Christ did for us, the church. Amen. And Christ, you know, he never browbeat a member of the body of Christ. He never did that. Christ has never made life miserable for any member, part of the body of Christ. Christ has never made unfair demands on the body. Never should a husband do that to his wife either. I mean, you see the analogy with Christ, which he's talking about relationship between husbands and wife here. Christ is willing to teach us the Bible. And, you know, the husband's the best teacher is living by example, the way you live your life. Amen. And Christ never hurts me. He never retaliates against me. Christ is always there for me. He always loves me. If I'm lovable or I'm not lovable, he still loves me and still cares for me. Amen. And that's the way we should be as husbands. And wives, I mean, you can learn from that illustration also. I mean, men are looking for a spouse as the same as Christ is looking for somebody in the church. Submission. In other words, my husband's the number one in my life. There isn't anybody else. He is number one. There's no one else in my life. And when he says, "Wives, submit yourselves unto your husband as unto the Lord," you know, don't submit to somebody else's husband. You submit to your own husband. But the motivation should be love to do for him. That's your motivation. I mean, shouldn't be any hidden agenda. There shouldn't be any other motivation than that you love him and care about him. And you special shared relationship of communication and companionship. You've got a relationship. It's a special relationship. And that's what God wants to have with you. That's what Jesus Christ wants to have. He wants to have that special relationship with you like you have with nobody else. It's special, but just between you and him, right? And that's the way with a husband and wife. Willing to follow his leadership, right? And it says in 5:24, "Therefore, as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything." And, of course, like I said, it's to your own, you know, to your own husband to be subject, right? And but wives, give your husband a chance to learn from mistakes. I mean, he could possibly even be right, right? And husband, give your wife, and you gave you that wife. You ought to listen to her counsel. Got to listen to her. And then the church needs to be subject to Christ and everything. That's the picture. We need to be subject unto Christ. It says, "Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. It didn't say, "Husbands, love your wives as long as they're young and beautiful," right? You're supposed to love them. Love them. You know, wives are a gift from God. Are they not? Amen, men? Amen. They're a wife. They're a gift from God. And so it says, "Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of the water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that it should be holy and without blemish." See, Jesus said in 15:3. He says, now you are clean through the word which I have spoken to you. Again, the Bible is always constant. Jesus Christ, everybody, always points you back. This is what God has left us down here. We can see what God thinks. We know what He has for us. And you want to get cleansed. You want to know what God wants to do. You want to live your life like Him. This word of God will cleanse you. He says the word of God will cleanse you. Amen. And that's what God's doing. He's preparing us for one day to spend eternity with Him. You know? He wants to take this. And that is the purpose of it. To get rid of the spots of the world here. And we're going to have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ that's going to last through eternity, through the ages. And you want a relationship with your husband or your wife that's going to last for a long time. Get around the Word of God and let it cleanse you. Make that a part of it central. Make that a central part of your relationship. Amen. And look at Christ, how Christ treats the church, and look how those two relationships work. And apply those to your lives as husband and wife. And he says, so ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth his himself. But no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourish it and cherish it, even as the Lord the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular love his wife even as himself, and that the wife see that she reverence her husband. See, it's a relationship like no other. Christ and the church have become one. Husband and wife actually become one together. And reverence means honor. It means respect. See, we all need love. We all need respect. And we need to give that to each other. We need to give each other love and respect. You know, I believe that a woman would pick love over respect. And I believe a man would pick respect over love if they had to pick one or the two. But you know, in reality, we all need love and respect. We all need that kind of relationship of love and respect. I mean, successful husbands, you know, give your wife that success. Give your husband that respect. Give him that encouragement that they need. And husbands, you know, be a loving husband. Be a supportive husband. Those are things that we need in our relationships as we work together. You know, there's nothing that a husband and wife, who have Christ in their life, shouldn't be able to work out around the Word of God. That's the reason why it's so important that you now have time where you spend working together around the Word of God. Learn to develop that relationship. You know, you have a physical relationship. You have an emotional relationship. Develop that spiritual relationship between the two of you. Amen? Because we are more than just physical beings. Amen? We're more than just emotional beings. We're also spiritual beings. And we need that relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, I always like to use illustration when people come in for marriage. That here's you and here's your spouse, right? Here's Jesus Christ. And that relationship should be where you're both working towards Jesus Christ. What does that normally and naturally will do with your relationship? It should bring both of you closer and closer together, amen, as you both learn to be more and more like Jesus Christ and doing what God wants you to do, amen. He should be the third part in your relationship. Amen? Amen. So in conclusion, a husband, you are a picture of Christ. Wives, you are a picture of the church. Husband plus wife equals children. God plus believer should equal some fruit. See, wives must remember that God gave them the ability to have children. And the church, we have been given the responsibility to witness and to lead people to a born-again faith to the family of God. And we, the local church, have a responsibility to help to converts to grow to maturity in Jesus Christ, to teach them to walk as followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? There's a reason why God has a church. It's not just to have a religious ceremony, but that we can also reach out and have a family of God. Amen? Amen? Amen?